everyone, it's Robin Logan here from International Coach Academy. Welcome to our teleseminar this month. The topic today is coaching lifestyle. What is a coaching lifestyle and how easy or hard is it to get one? And to discuss this topic, I have with me two wonderful guests from our faculty, Mercy Maglino and Leon Vanderpol. So let's begin. Mercy, I'm going to start with you. I know you have a background or you had a background in state politics in New York. But I'm not really clear on what your actual day job was before you came to coaching. Can you tell us a little bit about what that looked like?
Oh, sure. I think I'm really representative of a lot of coaches or people who come to coaching in that I have an interest in many different fields. I was educated as a teacher. I've always had a love of writing. So I've been a journalist. I did everything related to publishing at one time and also found my way into working for the communications and PR needs of several elected assembly people, which is one of our houses in New York State's legislature. I did not have a plan for any of this. I kind of like teaching, and I seem to be consistent in that everything I do is a little bit about teaching. Before coming to, coaching or even considering coaching as a profession, I worked as a communications director for the New York State Legislature and also wore a hat as a political director where I maintained and managed and oversaw $7 to $10 million budget for campaigns. So I have a lot of stories to tell, lots of wounds to share, but basically, that's what I did 90 hours a week for almost 16 years. Mm-hmm. And
can I interrupt you? I just want to ask about the, it sounds amazing, sounds like an amazing job, but what did like a typical day look like? What was your lifestyle like at that time? Where did you live? Where did you work from?
Yeah, I live 2 hours from New York City, which is about, it's the state capital of New York. So it's a very small place. If the legislature wasn't here, it would be the middle of nowhere. I would wake up in the morning. My daughter's now 24, so I had a daughter who I would get off to daycare, or we'd switch off my husband and I. I would be at my desk by 7 a.m., I would use the 2 hours before anybody else came to regroup for the day, to make my lists, to write because I couldn't really write once the day started. And then the phone started ringing back in the day. I had a cell phone probably the last 20 years, but I can remember a time when there wasn't cell phones. I would just basically have a meeting after meeting after meeting. I served either a senator or a congressman or an assembly person or a speaker of the assembly, all elected politicals with their own, constituency. And somewhere in there, I rarely left my desk for lunch. I usually ate there. I would spend hours on a couch, we called it, because the political principal I was working for would pontificate and throw out things. And that was part of your job. Just listen and handhold. Then I wouldn't get home till almost 8 o'clock at night and was on call a lot of the time. Like, it was nothing for me to get a 3 a.m. call telling me that one of the members of the state, Senate or Assembly had found themselves in some trouble overnight and we had to do some crisis communication. I mean, life was extremely, extremely busy. It was good. It was great. It was exciting until it wasn't. And, it's a
rigorous... Tell me about the bit where it wasn't. I'm interested to know was not working for you about that lifestyle.
It's a lot of, it's very exciting. And, I got into politics thinking I was going to change the world. Part of what I wanted to do. And what I found was I was in a world where I could hardly change anything. And it was very frustrating after a while. The money was good. Yeah. I called them the velvet handcuffs. It kept me there a lot longer. I had a copy of Toxic Work on my desk as a book for 4 years. So I'm kind of a slow learner. But then, you know, a couple of things as, you know, having met so many of ICA students in the past, like many of them, everything seemed to come to a head. I had a husband who took a bad fall on the job. He is fully recovered, but for 6 months, I mean, he had a wired jaw and a back brace the whole bit, and suddenly our finely honed juggling act was set askew. Reached a point in my career where I was working for the most impossible person ever, because that's what happens when you're good. You just keep going through till somebody eats you alive. So I had going for me.
Yeah.
So in the middle of the Democratic Convention in August of 2000, I called my sister and a couple of her friends. I called them the God Squad, and they came and rescued me. I sat on a bed in a hotel room, said, I can't make one more decision. I can't have one more migraine. I can't have one more episode of acid reflux, irritable bowel, or chronic fatigue. Come and help me. And I went to the beach for 4 days, and I never went back.
Wow.
And I started to think about, what do I really, really want out of my life? I liked a lot of what I did. I liked the team building, and I liked motivating people. So I just, like, saw my life as a sponge, Robin, and I squeezed out everything I didn't want, and I looked at what was left, and lo and behold, somewhere along the line, coaching became the answer.
Yeah. Okay, well, I mean, that is even more dramatic than a lot of people, than what I expected. Like, it sounds to me like that was a total burnout situation. That was even more than a, look, this job's just not very flexible. I need to do something
yes.
else.
Yes. I think it resonates with people, in that it doesn't have to be that. You know, I tend to overdo things, but it doesn't have to be like that. I coach so many people, Robin, who are just like, they're not even there yet, but they really know they don't want to do what they're doing. You know, they're tired of juggling. They want it all, but they know to have it all, they've got to make some changes.
Yeah. Yeah, perfect. All right, well, I'm going to come back to you and find out what change you decided to make and what the coaching lifestyle looks like for you. But before I do that, let's move on to Leon. I want to hear about your last day job before coming to coaching. Like, what did your life look like and what was your lifestyle like, Leon?
Well, I was sitting there listening to Mercy's, and I have to admit that I didn't have quite that lifestyle. I had made some choices earlier on in my career that I spent 3 or 4 years in high-level corporate consulting work back in my 20s already, sort of out of university. And it was already then that I looked around and went, this is kind of mad. I need to get out of here.
Yes.
And so I did. I jumped out of it, and I came to Asia early on. And so my work and my life in Asia has been very much one of following what my heart really wanted to do already since my 20s. And I've had an eclectic range of very interesting jobs. What I was doing just before I joined in the coaching world, let me just go back a little bit. I have been doing and always been attracted to for the last 15 years is human development. And so regardless of where I found myself, that was the underlying foundation of all of my work. And I found myself in Taiwan doing a lot of team building facilitation, and then that moved into training work. And I was working for a company in Taiwan called Learning Technologies. Now, it was a great job, I have to admit. It was a 9 to 6 kind of work because I was very conscious about – sorry, my children are just behind me having a great time. Hope you can't hear it.
I'm thinking, what's going on?
You
can maybe,
yeah.
I'm like, thinking about what word to say next. Or
you guys want to know the coaching lifestyle? This is it. So here I am in my home office, right? It's 8 o'clock in the morning, and the kids are getting ready for school, and that's what goes on in the home. But I'm here for that, so I'm hearing all of that noise. I'm able to participate in it. I'm able to help with breakfast, and of course today I have a call at 8 o'clock. Some days I do, some days I don't. So I'm able to take them to school and whatnot. So going back, what I was doing before was training facilitation, and it was 9 to 6. Like I said, I've made some very conscious choices early on about the life that I wanted to live, and so I was never pushing myself beyond anything that I wasn't really happy doing. So coaching came along and became, at the time, it was just meant to be a third leg, like training, facilitation, and coaching. That's a nice package. And so when I left organizational life back in 2004 and began to work for myself, it was training and facilitation at the forefront, and then sort of coaching starting to get sprinkled in. But that then started to change. So my life has been a very gradual change away from corporate and then into organizational life as a consultant, and then now more as a coach working from a home-based business, and less of the training and facilitation.
Yeah. So it sounds to me like you started pursuing the what we're calling the coaching lifestyle, but could also be easily termed the independent lifestyle or the free lifestyle. You started pursuing that before finding coaching, in a way.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That was something that was on the forefront of my mind from an early age, already in my 20s, of what it would look like just to follow my own drummer, so to speak. And, and, you know, when I came to Asia, one of the reasons that I got full-time work in organizations was because you need to have a company sponsor you for a visa when you live in different countries. And so it was by default that I would go out and find organizational life-based work. And so it was only when I was able to free myself from that obligation through my marriage to a Taiwanese woman, I was then free of visa obligations for work. Yeah. I was able to leave organizational life and immediately set out on my own, which is something I may have done earlier because, I've always been drawn to that lifestyle. And this lifestyle that I'm leading now, this is my ideal.
Yeah, perfect. So now I'm going to circle back and find out, Mercy, what happened when you found coaching, and what sort of lifestyle did it enable you to set up for yourself?
Thanks. Let's see. Well, I hired a coach to help me figure out what kind of lifestyle I wanted. So I don't know what happened, the chicken or the egg first, but interestingly enough, it was by hiring a coach and working with her that I not only began to see what I really wanted from my life, and also to see that coaching was something that would really be a natural fit.
Okay.
So through that experience, you know, I just want to add that, you know, I work probably as hard as I ever did. I do take more downtime. I have the flexibility, but I do something I truly love. And so it's, you know, it's sort of like everything's become integrated, which is what I love about coaching lifestyle. It's not compartmentalized. I really love that.
What do you mean by compartmentalized? Can you explain that a little bit more to me?
No, it's like everything I do, whether it be training or coaching or mentoring, speaking or writing, you know, it's just, it is part of who I am. It's part of my values. It's how those values show up in the world. So I don't, you know, ever feel, you know, like, well, you know, I better do this so I can do that. Or, you know, if I want to do yoga in a day, it's just fluid. You know, it's not like, oh, I got to carve out an hour for yoga. I mean, that kind of thinking kind of went away, which I you know, that was my vision in the beginning of changing all of this, was, and I didn't want to have to, you know, sort of get out a calendar and map out hours. I can do this, that, and, you know, I know that I work hard, and I know that I have to approach work with that in mind. You know, it's, I'm just a person of industry. I come from a long line of peasants. We work. It's what we do. I really enjoy that I now have that ability to say, hey, I'm an industrious person, so I can be industrious in anything that I choose to do, even if it means relaxing or doing yoga or working with clients, whatever I do.
Yes. Yeah. So tell me, Mercy, what's a normal day then look like for you? Like, clearly it's got a bit of yoga or massage in there. And actually, because I know you so well, seriously, you are the epitome of the coaching lifestyle to me. You're always off at some bar doing something. You've got clients all over the place. You're never in the same location. Like, you just go to Florida or something for the weekend because you wanted some sun or something last weekend.
Yeah. I mean, I like Leon, you know, who's moved around. I think the number one thing I missed when I worked so hard for somebody else was the limited amount of time that I was able to take off. And just, you know, on a spur of the moment, I didn't have that ability, and I love that now. I can't, you know, express how much I like our global community. When I joined IC as a student many years ago at this point, I just like, wow, this was seeing the world from my desk chair. So now I get to really, you know, at the moment's notice, I can change a schedule or whatever to meet my needs. And I think that's what I really want to say here. You know, low maintenance is highly overrated as far as I'm concerned. I'm somebody who all I have is me. I'm an instrument. I'm a channel. And if I don't take care of that, I can't serve people. So, yeah, I need sun in the winter, and I need my, you know, my relaxation and my yoga and my running. I need all that stuff to keep going.
Yeah, fantastic. It's great. Thanks, Mercy. Let's move over to Leon. So, Leon, just to continue on with your story, you were already in Taiwan, and you had a job with a company mainly for visa purposes. But once you didn't need to do that anymore, because you were fortunate enough to actually fall in love and met a local person, then what happened after that? And what sort of lifestyle did you set up?
Well, at that point, things got to be very much in my hands and to craft and create whatever I wanted. And I didn't have, I wouldn't say I went forth with a vision for my lifestyle. I didn't operate from that. I simply just, in the moment, I looked around at, you know, what my energy wanted to do, where it wanted to go, what I was attracted to, and just began to do it. And it would just kind of forge a lifestyle. It wasn't something that I planned out. And it was, at the first couple of years, sort of setting out on my own was one of a really exploration in a lot of different directions, having to meet new people and getting out and networking and really seeing and being in this city. It's a very large city, from a different perspective than a guy who works at a desk in an office. I had to get into the city and into the communities. And so that was a wonderful experience because it was very interactive, meeting all kinds of people, doing all kinds of things. And that was in part also to establish myself and the work that I was doing. So my work at first began very much on what I call on the ground here in Taiwan. I began as a leadership and executive coach, and I still do some of that work. And I was on the ground, so I was working with the variety of organizations, particularly international, multinational organizations here, and coaching many of the leaders, primarily from the expatriate community in Taiwan. And so you can imagine it was face-to-face work that I was doing, and so that involved going to a lot of companies and meeting people, HR groups, and selling services and networking, and all of those things were happening within that lifestyle. I got involved in ICA, and that added a new component. That added some coursework that I was doing as well. And what I also noticed then, that as I was coaching executives and leaders, that I was being called to develop my coaching in other directions. I was being called and by people saying, hey, you know, I'd like some life coaching. I hadn't done life coaching, as you know, they'll say. It's all life coaching after a few sessions. But I was getting called to be a life coach for people. And from that then started to emerge a more spirit-based approach and a very deep transformational approach to coaching, which is now where I really am. Now, that's just the coaching journey in a nutshell. But so when it comes to the lifestyle, the shift has been increasingly – so it started on the ground, and then there was a movement away to start doing more phone-based coaching and global coaching with the people that were coming for the spirit-based, more transformational work. And so today I have a mixture of an on-the-ground and on-the-phone lifestyle, which is – perfect for me, because if I sit in my home all day, I am alone in the sense that I don't have people around me working with me. And for me, that's actually really good. I'm the kind of person that does really well on my own. I love it, in fact. But I do need to go out on occasion and really interact with people. And so the training work and the facilitation work that I continue to do and some of the on-the-ground coaching that I do offers me that opportunity, which is really nice. So I found a great balance of being sort of in the city with people, and then as I pull back and work through the phone, I'm able to be with my clients from around the world, which is for me absolutely ideal. And so when I look at my day, I don't have a typical day. Every day is a little different, but I have kind of three blocks of time. I have now my morning time, which is 2 to 3 hours in the morning, maybe from 8 to 11, that kind of period. I have an afternoon period block of time, which is usually 2 to about 4:30. And then I have an ICA kind of evening block. Sometimes I do clients in that evening block from about 6 to 8. And so that's my typical day, those blocks of time. And in between there, I can take 2 or 3 hour lunches. I go for my runs in the afternoon. Some days I just decide to take the whole afternoon off if I feel like it. I usually take Friday afternoons off because my ICA classes end at 12 and I'm usually really motivated to not do anything. So I don't. And I usually enjoy a 2.5 day weekend on most weekends, which is really nice. And of course, you know, like for example, we've got coming up a possibility to do a trip. And we had the choice of doing it on the weekend or doing it on a Sunday, Monday. And if you travel in Taiwan on the weekend, well, you're out there with 21 other million people who are also on the move on the weekend. So things get kind of crowded. So, well, why don't we just travel on Monday? Okay, great. So I move a couple of appointments around, and next thing I know, Monday's free, and I'm free to go out on Sunday and Monday. So these kind of small things, you know, Mercy talked about flexibility of taking breaks and rest, and that's the beauty is, like, anytime I feel tired, I need to self-care, just self-care. Does it mean take a day off, take an afternoon off, move a couple things around? Done. And I have not been sick. I mean, I really have not been sick since I left organizational life. I used to get sick every winter, you know, some flu that was going around. Once I left, I just noticed that if I feel if I feel a little bit of fatigue, take a nap immediately.
Yeah.
Just take that rest. And that's the lifestyle. And so my body repairs, replenishes, and boom, I'm back on my feet again. Because I think Mercy said it well. Mm-hmm. You have to be optimal to serve in this business. Mm-hmm. You have to be optimal in yourself. And so I give myself whatever I need to be in that optimal state at any time.
Yeah. That's amazing. I mean, you said so many things there, Leon. But I think, you know, I sometimes get sad that these things that you're talking about, you know, being more in tune with your body and having the ability to make choices about when is the best time for you to work and not work. I feel sad that can't happen inside companies. And I know there are some companies where that's starting to happen, but I'll never forget when I was working, you know, full-time at a university when I was pregnant. And, you know, that thing where, well, you might not know Leon firsthand, but I'm sure you do through your wife, where there's certain periods in your pregnancy where you're just, like, so tired. You can't – it's not even a choice. It's beyond choice. You just have to lie down. And I remember just wandering the corridors, finding an empty classroom and crawling in and lying under a desk and just lying down for 20 minutes so I could just get my body back into the state it needed to be to go back out and do some more teaching. And for me, that's one of the great things about the coaching lifestyle, is that you can be very in tune with your body and very in tune with your energy levels and with your family and their requirements and their needs. And you have the power and the choice to move things around and to create your day, your week, your life in a way that it all runs really well, like an orchestra that where every instrument is playing well together. I think that is one of the key things for me about the coaching lifestyle, and Mercy said the same thing. So, Leon, tell me just a bit about that part of it. You talked before your kids were in the background, and you mentioned, you know, just, you know, off the cuff that was another benefit. Have you found that also with your family it's been a better lifestyle for you?
Oh, absolutely. That's been one of the greatest joys. And I can see that my work is going to be transitioning sort of as my kids age too. And my kids are very young. So the overlap with me becoming a home-based worker has been, you know, with my children's birth, and right now my daughter's 6, my son 3. And so that's been just incredible because this is the age when they're still around the house quite a bit. And they start to go to school around 6, you know, but now it's been the last 6 years they've been around the house. And so have I. How perfect is that?
Yeah.
So as they move into school, et cetera, and start being away, so then my work, I suspect, is going to start shifting too. I will have a different kind of, how do I say this? I will want to approach my work differently because I will have a different context in which to do that. And that's the beauty of what I find is that as my context shifts, I can move things around very nicely to meet the new contextual requirements. And it's benefited our family tremendously. I know my kids. They know me, from the day they're born.
Yeah, great. And Mercy, it's the same with you. You're always jet-setting off to see your daughter in LA or wherever she is. Have you found that's also been an issue for you?
I have one daughter. She was 12 when I left my job, and she was clearly my coaching guinea pig. I began to use, really coaching skills with her, and I really attribute it to how remarkable our relationship is. She's definitely the apple of my eye. And she, went off to college about 3 hours from here by car. Then she went to live in L.A. for 2 years, 3,000 miles by plane. And I cannot go more than 3 weeks without seeing her. Between the two of us, we become cranky. So, and I'm just delighted that, A, I have this relationship, that the time I was able to be flexible and be there for her in her teens, I thought, I had some, always had some concerns about leaving her as a baby, but, when she became a teenager at 12 and 13 is when I really saw, wow, this was just an amazing opportunity to be home. And, we didn't have as much money. I had left a six-figure job, and it took me 3 years to really build my practice up. And in the meantime, did a bunch of mishmash of things. But that, really, it just really realigned my whole family. And we started to appreciate each other more. Any typical day, she texts me, six or seven times. She's already got me going to Barbados with her last year because she can't stand that I've been there 12 times and she's never been there. We just enjoy traveling. I should add that I have eight brothers and sisters. So, and they live, all over the United States. So I have, free room and board. So often, I'm just, if I get myself there, I can work from anywhere. I just need a computer and a phone, and I'm good.
Yeah, and listen, let's just, moving on from the eight brothers and sisters, I sometimes think the only reason that you work at ICA is to make all these global connections. You travel the world. You have beds available to you all over the world now for your coaching connections.
Absolutely. And I have, done ICA meetups. If I'm going to be in a particular city, I've just, put out the alert on our ICA forum or in classes and say, hey, I'm going to be in New York City at this place at this time, come meet us. And, Robin's been there. I know Leon's done on the other end of the world. I got to go to Australia, which, funnily enough, since the Thornbirds, now I'm really dating myself, but since the Thornbirds, I've always wanted to go there and never knew how I was going to get there. You know how we have lists and we say, oh, we're going to get there, but we don't really know how? Sure enough, I pick a school that's out of Australia. My first coach was Australian. It was just like, okay, if I don't get there soon, and I did, I fulfilled that last year when I was able to go. And so,
Very cool. That was very, very cool.
Kind of thing is great.
Look, I completely relate, and same with my kids. Just the very little things of being able to go down when they're sick, pick them up from school, bring them back, put them on the couch, and keep working is a wonderful. It's a gift. I feel very grateful every day that I can do that. Let me just summarize, then I'll open up the call. So. And we'll get some questions maybe from listeners here before we then go on to looking at how hard or easy it is to achieve this coaching lifestyle. So I'm just going to summarize what I've been hearing here. I think if I had to describe the coaching lifestyle, the elements of it, the things that have been mentioned are that it's generally home-based, that it's generally phone-based, although you can mix it up like Leon does and you do as well, Mercy, with seminars and workshops. It's generally global, or has the potential to be, because your clients are from all around the world. And it's your own business. You are your own boss. So I think when I look at that list, to me, that list could still be any other type of business. You could run, a lawn care business in the same way, perhaps not phone-based, but you could definitely be location independent, flexible, and your own boss. In a number of different areas that I can think of. I think the element of coaching that I've heard from both of you that just adds a flavor to this already quite nice looking picture is that you said it really well, Mercy, coaching for you now feel that the work is part of who you are. And Leon, you know, with your work being in transformational coaching and spiritual personal coaching, it really sounds like the added gift, if you like, of this coaching lifestyle is you actually get to do something where every day you feel like it's an easy, natural thing to do because it's a part of who you are. So I just ask you to both comment quickly on that point, and then I'm going to open up the lines. So, Leon, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, it says it beautifully. After a time when you immerse yourself in this, it becomes, how do I say, there is no longer a separation. It's a type of integrity. And when I say integrity, I mean wholeness. That as you grow into what is for me my soul work, so maybe I'll use that word, you know, instead of saying, as you grow into what aspect of coaching is calling you at a soul level, it is an expansive process that invites you to step in fully in all ways, in all directions in your life. And there becomes no separation anymore between the personal and the private. It is a life. It is holistic, and it is complete in that way. And so there are elements of that life in which you are engaging others where other times of that life where you are on your own, other times of that life when you're in communion with spirit or whatever it be for you. But it is holistic and it is complete. And there is no, to use Mercy's word earlier, there's no more compartmentalization. And that's what I love about it, is that I don't separate anymore. It is every day a complete day in and of itself, just for what it is. I hope that makes some sense, but that's what it means for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, perfect sense, yeah. And Mercy, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I would agree with all the points you made. I also would add, you know, it's as structured or unstructured as you would want it to be. Like some weeks, because I have deadlines and, you know, some date sensitive things that I want to do, my week might be pretty structured. On the other hand, I might have a day like today where, you know, I woke up, I did a class at 7 a.m. and that was yesterday. I did a class at 7 a.m. I went off to do an appearance on local television about how to enjoy guilty pleasures. I came back home. I wrote for 2-3 hours. I did some work for ICA, and then I got back on the phones around, you know, 7 p.m. New York time. So I like the idea that each day is slightly different and that I can vacillate between a very structured week or a very unstructured week.
Yeah, perfect. Perfect. All right, well, let's open up the lines and see if people have got any questions for us.